Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting here with Michael Goudeau. And we're at 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Okay. How are you?
Good. You know, last week we were talking about all these destruction stories because of Steve Wynn's. That's when that whole thing started. Our whole obsession with destruction started. We're going to pretend it started last week. What day of the week was it? Was it last
that
Monday?
I believe that was a Tuesday.
Well, that would have been a Monkey Tuesday.
Well, it would have been, except that Patrick was...
Monkey Tuesday! You owe me another one. Good. We didn't really get to it because we're talking about destruction. So this, let's really try to be very conscientious this week and really try to stick to
monkey stories.
Stick to monkey stories. So we got a lot of monkey stories.
The destruction stuff was great though.
So maybe we'll get to the destruction thing at the end again. But we got a lot of them in Gmail. We also have a lot of phones. So let's talk to Ralph here. How you doing, Ralph?
I'm fantastic.
Good, good, good. What's up? What monkey story you have?
Well, about 25 years ago, I went to a concert at the Philadelphia Zoo.
They were doing concerts?
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre. I don't think they did it very long due to the fact of the monkeys.
what kind of concert was it?
Okay, the opening act was the Hooters.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Hooters, sure.
And yeah. The main act were the Dixie Dregs.
Oh, the Dixie Dregs, yeah.
Yes, who are, you know, I went to see them because I liked both bands.
Sure, those are good bands. Yeah.
So I was...
And where do they hold it? Where do they have a concert at the Philadelphia Zoo?
I don't remember. It was kind of fuzzy. But it was at the zoo.
Because it was so long ago, or were you, like, high during the show?
Well, you know, this is a family radio station,
okay,
right?
Okay, okay.
So it was a long time ago.
Just a fuzzy memory. Okay, good.
Yeah, it was 25 years ago.
Sure.
So anyway, my friends and myself, we sat down. The best place to sit was in the grass in front of the monkey cages.
Of course.
So during the opening act, the Hooters, the monkeys pretended that nobody was even there. They were quite serene.
Okay.
So, you know, they had the information.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Is that, if you're a rock and roll band, is it good or bad that you make monkeys serene?
You can't even whip up monkeys.
Okay, so they're serene. Good, bad, or indifferent, they're serene.
Right, so they were serene. So as soon as the Dixie Dregs started to play, the monkeys became extremely agitated. They were running around in circles, and they were picking up anything they could off of the cage floor and throwing it.
We know what anything they could means. We know what that means.
Oh, and proceeded to empty the cage of that in the direction of the band.
Did they hit the band?
No, they were 100 feet away.
But... Okay. Were they hitting the audience members?
They hit a few, yes.
Wow. So did the Dixie Dregs continue to play? That didn't slow them down.
They had no idea what was going on.
Okay.
They certainly couldn't hear it.
That was a good. That was the end of the concert. Did they do a few more in the Philadelphia Zoo?
I'm not really sure. I'm not from Philly, but they. I don't think it. I never heard of them doing it much longer after that.
Well, cool. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much. Thanks so much, Ralph.
Yes, have a good day.
Okay, you too, man. I don't know. I don't know. If you're a rock and roller, I don't know if you want to keep monkeys sedate. I think the monkeys throwing whatever they can get their hands on is a better review from the monkeys.
It's a little more sensory overload.
It means that the monkeys are part of the experience. I don't think... Do you remember the Hooters? Remember
I don't.
Songs? No.
But I don't. They're very popular with the prosimians, not actually with the simians.
But I don't remember them that much. I'll go look at it. I must have something in my iTunes. I'll check it out after the show. See what that's all about.
Yeah, you know, when you do a search for the Hooters, you get a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. I wonder if that's what happened to the band. Their name just got taken by so many other things. This is a fairly long Gmail, and it's from a guy named William, I guess. And he's got a lot of monkey stories in here. I read this over and really liked this, so I'm going to read this. I am an English teacher in Malaysia, And for the holidays, my wife and I went to Borneo, which, as you know, is absolutely maggoty with monkeys. Now, you know, Kiki Friedman, a good friend of the show and the next governor of Texas, you know that he was a... He was in the Peace Corps in Borneo?
I knew he was in the Peace Corps. He had some great stories.
He was in Borneo. That's where he was. It's maggoty with monkeys. They've got silver leaf monkeys. You know what silver leaf monkeys are?
No.
You better look them up then, shouldn't you?
I'm looking at the Hooters. You know, the band. No, the band. Okay. They're at thehooters.com. Hooters.net.
Hooters.net.
Hooters.net. The Hooters.
Are they still around?
Apparently, they're still around.
Oh, cool. Oh well, I don't mean to show any disrespect.
Their reunion performance, November in 2001, was successful.
2001.
And they did European summer tours in 2003, 4, and 5.
That's 5 years ago.
The Hooters are now working on a new album.
What's now? What do you mean now?
Now.
What's the last date you got there on the Hooters?
There's a phone number here. Maybe I'll call them.
Okay.
Last updated 2006, 6/21.
Okay. 6/21, that's not too long.
Not too long.
A few months. They got silver leaf monkeys, which Michael Goudeau doesn't know what they are. Macaques. Orangutans, which in the is, I didn't know, I did know this, is the Malay word for jungle people.
Of course, that's all names are.
But no, this is for monkeys, Goudeau.
All right.
Point, okay. The ridiculous proboscis monkey, which is fabulous looking. Even a couple of new species of mammals they haven't even classified yet. Do we believe that?
No.
Okay. He's got a link here. Got a link here, which I'm not going to click on because I'm reading it off paper. I'll push it, but it's paper. Well, it was not enough for us to go to the seething navel of simian corpus. We had to crawl directly into its maw. This guy's a good writer. That's how you just judge a good writer, in case you want to know.
Maw?
When they use the word maw, it means they're a good writer.
All right.
I don't think bad writers use the word maw. There were portents. There were omens. It was a Tuesday. We arrived at the park toward evening, checked in, and went to a small canteen and ordered some tea. We struck up a conversation with some of our fellow travelers. The first story was told to us by a leathery, middle-aged Scottish lady on our first night at the park. I was going to do my Scottish accent. I was going to do my leathery, middle-aged Scottish lady accent for this, but I guess I won't. Be careful of the monkeys, she told us. They are right bastards. Right bastard sounds very Scottish, doesn't it? I smile. All I could think of was Monkey Tuesday. Diddle-dump, 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 bump, bump, bump. He wrote that in, actually.
He wrote that in? Wow.
And this is the leathery, middle-aged Scottish lady talking. I was down at the beach on the other side of the park, she continued, oblivious to my joy, and no one else was around, so I changed into my bikini. Okay, well, the leathery, middle-aged Scottish lady has a bikini and went into the water. I get out and was lying on the beach reading, and a troop of macaques came out of the jungle and surrounded me. I hadn't noticed them till they were right on me. They started going through my bag and inspecting my things, and I was frozen. I didn't know what to do. But then one of them took out my panties and started sniffing them. Leathery middle-aged Scottish lady and the monkeys are sniffing her. It then laid the panties over its face. Then what the hell am I doing? then one of the other monkeys tried to grab the panties, and they started fighting. One of the monkeys grabbed my passport, and that's when I decided I had to do something. I grabbed a banana. When a monkey has your panties over their face, it's good to grab a banana, and threw it down the beach. They dropped everything but my panties, chased after it. I quickly grabbed my things and waded out into the water. The monkeys came back and stood at the water's edge, just waiting for me to come back. I stood there for a few minutes, wondering if I would make it back to camp before dark, when a group of people came out of the jungle and started walking toward the beach. The monkeys immediately headed toward the group, and as soon as they had them surrounded, I ran back to the trail and left them there. I never did get my leathery, middle-aged Scottish panties back. So that's a great story. Let's talk to... He's got two more.
There are two more stories on that same page.
But I'm going to take a phone call. Let's go to John. How you doing, John?
Hey, how you doing, Pat?
Never been better, boss. What's up?
I got this story. When I was working my way through school, I was working at this... What do you want to call them? Like a think tank where they were training monkeys to do sign language.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I was cleaning cages and stuff. But this one, it was a female scientist.
Where is this?
It was outside of Washington in Virginia.
Okay. Probably, is it resident?
I'm not. No, I don't think that's where the Ebola. It was a long time ago.
That's where the Ebola monkeys were, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
You might have cheated death there, but go ahead.
Yeah. So anyhow, the monkey.
I said resident, isn't it? Reston. Go ahead.
This chimp must have had a crush on the female scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time the male scientist would come in, he would flip the bird to him.
Oh, really? He knew that? Sign language?
No, I don't know how he learned it. You know, probably from one of us guys cleaning the cages.
Sure.
But
because you guys cleaned the cages.
It was hysterical because he would do it in such a way that the female never knew that he was doing this to the male scientist.
Oh, really?
He would wait until, like, the female had her back turned or she was holding him. You know, he would do it behind her back. It was hysterical just watching this monkey flipping this guy to bird every time. And the guy would be getting all frustrated and trying to, you know, tell her that, you know, what was going on, that she wouldn't believe him. But, I mean, it was just hysterical seeing this monkey having his face, shaking his head, giving this guy the finger, you know.
Did Tarzan flip the finger, the monkey that we knew, the chimp?
I'm sure he did, yes.
He must. That must be one of the tricks. If you had a monkey, isn't that one of the first tricks you'd teach him?
Oh, sure.
And it was probably you cage cleaners standing in front of the cages just flipping the monkey off night and day that got him going. Well, thank you so much, John. Yeah, I think Tarzan must have done that, right?
I think with a handful of Oreos you could train him to do anything.
Well, the thing about Tarzan, you know, the monkey that we knew,
yes.
Is he would you could say, go to the refrigerator and give me a Diet Coke, and he would do that.
Yeah.
Or he'd flip you off. Either one of those would be the exact acceptable. Yes,
you're not remembering it clearly.
Did you find out what kind of monkey that was?
Yeah, it's beautiful. The silver leaf monkey is gorgeous.
What is it like?
Teach us about the silver leaf. I have a lot.
Mike Goudeau, science schmo.
Mike Goudeau, science schmo. Well, it's a gorgeous. There's apparently a whole series of leaf monkeys. The red leaf monkey is my favorite actually so far.
And they're in Borneo.
They're in Java. That whole area down there.
Now this was not. It was macaques that had the leathery Scottish middle aged panties on their faces.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. That's what they were.
Long tailed macaques. They're a nice looking monkey too.
The long tailed macaque.
They're no proboscis monkey, but they're pretty cute.
Proboscis monkeys are, I think, they
perhaps for, everyone's favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's favorite. The funniest and funkiest looking monkey. Want to take another phone call?
Good. Well, I could.
Or you got more in the web there you want to do?
No, that's fine. You're good.
Let's talk to Dave. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how's it going, Ben?
Never better, boss. Never better. How you doing?
Not too bad. I got a monkey story for you.
Lay it on us.
Well, my uncle used to have a pet monkey when he was living in my grandparents' house.
What kind of monkey?
I believe it was a spider monkey. I'm not sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he was crazy. He used to like to swing from the ceiling fans and all a bunch of crazy stuff.
Swing from the ceiling fans is not your uncle, but rather the monkey. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, good. It was just, I wasn't sure what the antecedent was there. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, he used to like to follow people into the fridge whenever they would go to get some food, and he used to grab eggs. And he's not a big fan of women, this monkey. He would go up to the women and pretend to be really nice to them. He'd either pull their hair, or if he had an egg, he'd like to smash the egg on the women's head. And, you know, he'd target the women, but if anybody was around, he'd get them with the egg. And
now, would he throw it or smash it with his hand?
Oh, he would. There were times when he'd hang from the ceiling fan and throw it long distances, but for the most part, he'd pretend to be affectionate, and then he would just smash it on you.
Monkey's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, they're great. They're just great. We badly want to be them. That's why we do these shows every week. Go ahead.
Well, one time, my brother and I decided we thought it would be pretty funny if we replaced the egg with a marble egg. It's like a green marble egg. And he went in there one time. You know, there's only the one egg in the box.
Uh-huh.
He went and he took the egg and he decided the only other guy home was my uncle. So he thought he was going to smash the egg on my uncle's head. He ended up knocking him right above his right eye and giving him stitches.
Now, wait a minute. We are not going... We try to keep it a little bit honest here, Dave.
I swear, 100% honest.
You are lying your ass off. Not about the story.
I'm sure it happened
that way, but you're lying about the motive. You knew damn well that monkey was going to smash the marble egg into your uncle's head. You knew that.
we were hoping he was going to throw it off, you know, when he was hanging from the ceiling fan, maybe break something, you know, laugh about it. But he ended up getting pretty vicious.
How many stitches, you know?
I think it was like 3.
Yeah, we like the details. Yeah, so you gave a egg smashing monkey a marble monkey. I mean, a marble egg, is that right? And he smashed.
Oh, that's right. Seems like a good idea at the time.
I think that's assault.
Still a good
battery.
Idea.
I think that's assault and battery. You know, right, thanks a lot, Dave. You know, I had I was back like in the early 80s. I went to England. I did a tour with a rock and roll band and the Residents. And I was coming back through Heathrow to the U.S. And I'd stayed in London with a magician. I'd stayed at his house. And there was a magician that had gone over to there that had to lecture. I was lecturing, and he was lecturing on a magic trick called the egg bag, which is the worst magic trick in the world. I hate it. Even Johnny Thompson, who is a fabulous magician and has the greatest version of the egg bag, I even hate him doing it. And more than that, I hate him as a person when he's doing it. I hate this trick. But the guy, you use a wooden egg and you hide it in the bag. You've seen this trick. Does Lance do it?
I'm not going to confess on this. I'm staying out of this. You're giving away tricks on the radio. No, Lance does not do egg bag.
Okay, good. Because I would hate Lance if he did. Does Chris Angel do egg bag?
Not that I've seen.
No, it's
a miracle egg bag.
It's a horror.
Covered with rhinestones.
Yeah, he's got crosses all over. Chris Angel has crosses all over. And so the guy had left his lecture notes in Dutch. He had like hundreds of lecture notes that were all written in Dutch because he had been speaking in the Netherlands. And he didn't sell them. So he'd left them at this magician's house along with several dozen solid wooden eggs for his egg bag routine. And then he'd flown back to New York. So the magician said to me, are you going back to New York City? Would you just take this magician's stuff to him? And I said, sure. So I got on a big bag of other people's stuff because I'd stayed at his house and he'd bought me dinner and stuff. So I went through customs and they opened this up and go, what are these pamphlets? And I go, I don't know. I guess they're magic notes. Then they open up these eggs and they say, what are these eggs? And I go, huh, they look like wooden eggs. And I just kind of tap one, and they go, yeah, they're wooden eggs. And they go, well, crack one open. And I go, it's a wooden egg. You can't crack one open. They said, you have to crack one open, or you won't get through customs. Now, this is in the 80s, because if it were now, you know, I'd already be in prison forever. I'd be in Gitmo or something.
Because you said something back.
No, I didn't
you
say anything back. I didn't say, yes, exactly, because I responded, I'd go to jail. And I took the egg, and I said, no, it's a wooden egg. You can break it open if you want. It's not even mine. And when you say to people who are doing security, this bag is not even mine, all of a sudden a lot of lights go off in their heads. So I took the egg and they said, break the egg open. I said, I don't think I can break it open. It's solid wood. And he said, break it open. So I tapped it against the kind of the metal table there.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't break, of course. And he said, no, break the egg. So I said, okay, and I held the egg in my hand, and I came back as hard as I could, and I slammed this wooden egg into the metal table and dented the metal table terribly, made this huge racket, and they called over security guards, and I was in security for 5 hours after that, including a full to naked strip search and exam because of a goddamn solid egg. So maybe Dave's story hit a little too close to home. We'll be back right after this. This is Penn Jillette on a great Monkey Tuesday. Michael Gudeau's here, too. Well, the old music in the headphones says it's time for Monkey Tuesday. We're in the middle of another Monkey Tuesday. I kind of got off on that egg story there, but it's a good story. I was coming back from Europe, and I had not only did I have a bag full of other people's props, but I also had $9,000+ in cash in the front pocket of my leather jacket. So in the zippered front pocket, like where you put your eyeglasses.
Yeah, sure.
Eyeglasses, like in a biker jacket. There's a pocket for your eyeglass. Where you'd put your shiv? I had 9,000 something, which was I worked like 6 weeks over there. And it was all the money I'd made plus my per diem. And the envelope that said that, the piece of paper that said what you had to declare.
Right.
Said you had to declare any amount of money over $10,000.
That's right. You had just a dollar less.
Yeah, very little less. But I had all this money. So when they searched me, they found someone else's bag with wooden eggs that I had violently smashed on the table and done permanent damage, and $9,000 in unexplained cash. And when they asked me what country I'd been to, I said that I'd been to, 18 different countries in 30 days.
Typical juggler.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I wasn't juggling. I was working with a resident.
The resident. Right.
And so I had, there was nothing that, you know, any sort of bell that would go off in your head. I mean, if it were after 9/11, I would have been shot. I mean, I would still be in detention. But I mean, at that time, in the early 80s, you remember how lax things were then?
Yeah.
At that time, 5 hours in a full strip search. So I guess it was a drug dealer who had hardened, you know, heroin into solid wooden eggs or something. And you know, the weird thing was that my girlfriend at the time, who was taken into another room and strip searched, they wouldn't strip search us together for obvious reasons. She thought that the problem was I was too nice to them. Because although I was a smart ass and I did do damage to their table, I was always very polite and friendly.
You were following their orders when you damaged their table.
Absolutely. And I was also, you know, I always try to be, since security has bothered me more conceptually, I haven't been. But at that time, I thought I was the right person to search. I mean, I couldn't think of any reason not to pull me into that room. So
you looked like a drug dealer.
I did. I looked exactly like a drug
dealer. You've been on tour with a rock band.
Yes, I looked exactly like a drug dealer. I had bags with me that I didn't know what was in them. And I had over $9,000 in cash in the front pocket. Of my, which is a big wad of cash in the front pocket of the leather jacket. Yeah, you know, it's pretty big wad. And so I had it all folded up in hundreds, you know. And so it was a very, very bad. I mean, how many hundreds is that? Someone could figure that out.
So, Patrick.
Patrick did a
fire. Figured it out. 90 right, he says.
So 90,
let me check that.
That's a big wad. That's a big wad to have in the pocket of a leather jacket. So they spent a lot. And I was also very pleasant. I want to say that one of the things I'm most proud of is 5 hours in a room with the insolence of office. And I stayed very fun and very in good spirits. They didn't completely strip my girlfriend. They took her into the other room with a couple of female agents and questioned her for a while and kind of felt her up all over. But me, I was standing there, butt-ass naked, talking to the cavity search question. You know, they didn't really do a cavity search. I was naked, and they kind of they really did examine me naked, but they didn't really go into a cavity search. So there I was, and I was kind of making jokes and going, I don't know, some magician. I don't know what possible harm could lecture notes in Dutch be to national security? That was the kind of questions I was asking. But
you know, I had a friend who used wooden eggs in his act, and I was doing this show with him, and you know, obviously they're tricks, right?
Yeah.
He did a trick where he would stand on an egg as part of his act, and then he would pick up the egg and have palmed off the real egg and break it into a jar and show it to the audience like it was a real egg.
Yeah.
I was standing in the wings, and then he had forgotten to load the fake egg. So he stood up on the wooden egg, and I'm standing in the wings because I'm next. He looks up into the wings and, you know, just lips to me, no egg. So I'm laughing and watching him, and he steps down and, you know, mysteriously lifts up the wooden egg and holds up the glass jar, tosses the wooden egg into the glass jar, goes clank, 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 and he shakes it in front of the audience and yells, believe! My hero, Dexion.
That's a good story.
It was great. It was a great moment.
And they don't only use wooden eggs, they also use blown eggs. You ever blow an egg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to date one.
you take the egg and you put pinholes in
sure.
it. And you can blow out, you can scramble the inside and blow it out a little hole,
yeah.
And then you have just the eggshell without an egg in it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things they use to, where they want to smash an egg inside of something, have the breakage, have the shells, but none of the mess. For like, I think they use that for the Cake in the Hat. We're talking really obscure. We're talking egg bag and Cake in the Hat, because we've been doing
it's
the show
Magic
for 10
Tuesday.
Months now. Oh, it's not Magic Tuesday. It's Monkey Tuesday, isn't it?
It is.
So let's talk to...
do we have a monkey? Should we go back to monkeys? I don't know. We're exposing magic tricks on the air. It's a pretty good
idea. Exposing magic tricks on the air, and we're talking about eggs. Believe,
and it's clank, 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 clank.
I'm going to remember that.
It's a perfect cover.
We're putting a new bit in tomorrow night. We're putting a brand new bit into the show. A new opener. Which is always scary.
Wow.
So if it goes wrong, I'm just going to yell believe and rattle my eggs at the audience. If it were Spanish, you know, and I said rattle my eggs at the audience, they would hit the dump button. But since it's English, we're okay on that. I can rattle my eggs in the U.S. It's because it's the land of the free and the home of the brave. Let's talk home of the free and the land of the brave. Let's talk to Peggy. What's up, Peggy?
Hey, happy Monkey Tuesday.
Thank you. He's right there for you. What's up, Peggy?
Okay, a few years ago, my husband and I were in the military, so we decided that, you know, we were going to cover all our bets and get a bath in the Ganges. We took a trip to India.
I've been to India.
It's great, isn't it?
The Ganges, isn't it?
It's great, isn't it?
It's
I can't believe she said that to you.
It's filthy.
No, I mean, it was I have never seen anything like that before in my life.
You mean anything dirtier?
Oh, well, that too, but, you know, I've been to a lot of places. Remember, the Army, so it's all a question of how you look at things, right?
I'll tell you, I am such a... Where were you in India?
I was in Calcutta.
I was in Calcutta. Calcutta was so filthy that
you know what it was here? Listen to this, Penn. When I got off the plane and I got out into the street, it was still the middle of the night because this is a long flight.
Sure.
And so it hits you like the hot kiss at the end of a wet fist, that smell.
Theater, yes.
And, you know, I'm thinking, I said, holy crap, this is like Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Really unbelievable. And you go out, we were seeing street magicians. We were in...
That's great, too.
We were in the slums outside of Calcutta. And it seems inconceivable that Calcutta could have slums, but it does.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing how... You see things... I don't want to be too much of a bring down here, but you see things in terms of health and stuff that you never see anyplace else.
I like to think of it's life brought down to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, it is, and it's driving brought down to the lowest common denominator.
Oh yeah, I went past this one bus. It had on it in big letters, God help me.
So you're going to tie this in with the monkey story, Peggy?
Oh, yeah, sure. So anyway, when we got to Calcutta, you know the place is full of touts. Everywhere, when somebody wants to take you someplace and do something for you for a lot of money.
Yeah.
So after we got this bath in the Ganges, we run up on these bunch of touts.
You went into the Ganges?
Yeah, we did. Swear to God.
You went into the Ganges?
Into the Ganges, right up to the neck.
You went into the Ganges up to the neck?
Yep.
I took a boat on the Ganges, and it made me sick. You were in up to your neck?
I did, up to my neck. I wanted to cover all my bets with whatever God's available.
You went into
up to my neck.
I saw raw sewage floating in the Ganges.
I saw a dead kid floating in the Ganges.
And you were up to your neck
up
in there?
Up to my neck.
Is this like Johnny Knoxville in drag?
Negative. They have stairs. You know, I wasn't the only one. It was covered with people.
You were the only American.
Oh, yeah. I stood out like, inside of an Oreo cookie. There was no doubt about
it. So it was you and your husband?
Right.
What were you wearing going to the Ganges?
We had saris and dhoti. Because, you know, it was so frigging hot that if you didn't wear these clothes, you were roasting.
Now, were you stationed in India?
No. I was stationed in Germany.
Was that during our big war with India?
I was stationed in Germany, and so I asked for a 30-day pass to go to India. Well, they said to me, well, you do too good a job, so we're only giving you 2 weeks. And I thought, crap. You know, so we do 2 weeks, and we go to Calcutta. I loved Calcutta. We went to Calcutta, and we went to... a town called Bhubaneswar. It's farther south.
Okay.
And so we were just touring all these different temples.
What was your job in the Army, Ben?
Oh, it was like TV JAG.
Oh,
we did court martials.
You were a lawyer, too?
No, I was a paralegal.
Okay, well, that's still pretty cool. So you weren't a Scientologist like the Star.
Oh, no, but I tell you what, people can do some really bizarre things. We had one guy kill his wife and two children, left him in a tub, and then took off to the United States for 3 weeks like he was still promotable.
Okay.
And you couldn't believe it because, you know, after a while, you know, people start turning into the ecosystem. And so, you know, we're banging on the doors trying to get in. And then, you know, the Germans, they like to take pictures like 10 by 40s right up in your face. And there we were trying to put all this together. We saw all kinds of stuff. It's just...
You're talking Germany.
Germany.
An American soldier killing his family and leaving them in the room to rot.
Yes.
And then you're the one that goes in watching him take pictures.
Yes.
Why was a paralegal there?
Oh, because we have to make sure they do it right.
Because you're the kind of person that walked into the Ganges. Sure.
Right.
Bring her into human filth. Disgusting. She'll be there. She'll probably get down and roll around in it. Just give her
God.
A sorry. Oh, crazy Peggy. She loves to roll around in filth. Let's
Not
bring
me.
Her
I
on
think
in.
Bitches
That'll
up,
be
though.
A gas. Okay.
Ganges was a party for her.
Oh, yeah. Man, it was really a good time. No idea.
Okay. So now you're south of Calcutta.
Okay. So, we're in Calcutta. Yeah. We went south to Calcutta, but at that time we were in Calcutta and we had all these touts because the touts are everywhere.
Uh-huh.
This guy tells us, we want to take you to this temple of the monkey god. Here's the monkey business. Hanuman is the monkey god in India, so we decided, well, what the hell, we're going to go to this monkey temple. We take this trip north, and it's something like 200 clicks up north, and we go to this village, like, you know, like you couldn't tell it from another hole-in-the-wall village. And there's this temple. They walk us in, and there's this whole line of people. We're thinking, well, God, we're going to see the monkey god, right? And so there's this guy sitting there in a little chair, and people are walking up and touching his feet and offering him money, and I'm thinking to my husband, what's up on this? We get a little bit closer. The deal is you don't want to just see him. You want him to turn around because he's got a 13-inch tail. 13-inch tail. And it moved. It was. He showed it to you. He was quite proud of it.
What?
He was Hanuman, the monkey god.
With a 13-inch
tail. With a 13-inch tail. Big as your hand. So they wanted me to touch his feet, and I said, well, no, I don't think I'm going to do that, but I'll give you a little bit of money. I'm all for that.
Did you touch his tail?
No, well, you know, I wanted to do that, but, you know, it was kind of like going up to the elephant man and having him, you know, I'm not a man, I'm a human being, and I thought, I'll give you a little bit of humanity here. I'm not going to insult you any.
Well, tell us a little bit more, as much as you can on the radio, about what the tail looked like.
It was hairy. He had hair all over this thing, and it moved.
How old was he?
Oh, he was really young. He was like in his 20s.
20-year-old monkey god?
Yeah, real dark little guy, monkey man. And so, you know...
Did he look monkeyish other than...
No, he looked like the guy who'd be over at the Quick Check, you know? He had a tail.
And you're there dripping with human filth from the Ganges.
That's
and
it. Gone we're putting a little money in his little box, and we're thinking, boy, it just doesn't get any bizarre than this.
How much money did you and your husband decide together to give an Indian gentleman with a tail?
Well, we gave him a couple hundred rupees, which I guess turns into $2. You know, we were going all out because the trip up there was a little bit much.
Well,
we were thinking we were going to get robbed or something because it was a long trip up there.
Yeah, you know, when we went to see, you know, people who did, like, psychic tricks. But we had a guy who put snakes in his nose and stuff like that. And
that
we would go to places. You go forever. You go forever in India. Then you end up in a hut. And people are, was he in a hut?
Yeah.
Now, when he sat down, where did his tail go?
Beats the hell out of me. He had this little diaper thing like you see Gandhi wear. with a little hole for the tail.
Yeah, a little hole for the tail of the diaper. And
monkey
the
man.
Guy.
Monkey god.
Yeah,
Hanuman.
Chandra Oram is his name in West Bengal, regarded as the incarnation of Hindu monkey god.
You have a picture of him?
I don't have a picture of him, unfortunately.
What does it say there? See, Godot's
thousands of people are queuing to worship a man with a 13-inch tail in India.
13 inches,
that's
I guess.
Man.
Yeah,
that's the guy. I couldn't make this up. Truth is too much fun.
Yeah, you know, I found the link through Scott Adams, the Dilbert guy.
He was there for you.
As big as your hand.
He said, before you touch a monkey god tail to cure your leprosy, make sure the tail doesn't have a little hole in the end.
You know, and it didn't turn out. He was the real deal, and people were praying to him, and they were bringing, you know, sick kids to make him well, and And it was just, you know, too surreal for words.
That is surreal, Peggy. You know, you're giving me the signal, Patrick, that I should wrap it up and go to commercial. Do you understand that I'm talking to Peggy, who was with Liquefied Families in Germany, worked in the JAG squad, then she went into the Ganji up to her neck, and then was looking at a monkey god with
monkey
a 13-inch tail, and you're saying we break for commercial? Okay, be that way. Thank you so much, Peggy. We'll be back after this. God damn it! It's Monkey Tuesday. Come to the Monkey God. Touch my 13-inch tail and be cured of leprosy.
Almost 20 women have turned down marriage proposals. They see me and agree, but as soon as I turn around, they see my tail and leave. That's a quote from him.
Say that again.
No, I can't.
You were just doing an accent.
I almost did an accent.
You're now bright red.
I am embarrassed as I can possibly be.
There's only me in the room, you know. No one else heard it. No, it's just two friends
talking.
We can
cut that, right?
You better hope.
I've never even tried that.
You better hope that Spooky in New York is hitting that button. Just an Indian accent. It was loud. Stormy.
Spooky close enough.
866-570-7366. The monkey god kind of
possessed me.
Yeah.
I have decided to marry the woman who accepts me and my tail, or else I'll remain a bachelor. Doctors have offered to remove the tail surgically, but Mr. Oram has refused their help. He's making a living with the tail, man. You don't.
There's no picture of him.
There's no picture. I'm so sorry.
And how much, I mean, really, my favorite kind of people in the world. If you want to know the kind of people that I absolutely love, Peggy is like so high up on the list. I mean, really smart, really cool, really tough, and really nuttier than a outhouse rat. I couldn't think of any other word that went there. But she's terrific. You know, I've met, I get a feeling, you know, when I was like 18, I guess, and the Vietnam War was just ending, and the whole, you know, I had long hair like I have now, and I didn't want to go to war, and the military just seemed nutty to me. But since we've been doing the shows at the Rio, and I guess a lot of military people take a break in Vegas, we have a lot of military people coming to the show, lots of them have called our show. I think I like them. I think that military people are like a very high choice of person for me. You know, our friend Gid, you know, the first person to have atheist on his dog tags in the Army. I mean, I write him emails. We just have a great time. I think that I like military people a lot. And Peggy just put me over the top. Although, I got to tell you, I mean, you guys don't understand. Jackass number two, jackass are nothing compared to going in the Ganji up to your neck. I mean, I was in a boat on the Ganji, and we were floating in there, and I said to tell her, if this boat tips over, I'm going to kill myself. I will never be clean enough. I will not be in. If it tips over, I don't even want to know what parasites could be in me. You know, I just don't want to, you know, when I wrote the book Sock, it's kind of obsessed with being in water with parasites. It bothers me. I try to be, you know, not much of a wimp, but the idea of up to her neck in the gun, there could be splash. It could be splash. Oh, it's so, so disgusting.
Wear a spacesuit.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go in a submarine. I mean, it's just I just can't imagine. When I came from India and we flew back through Heathrow, I was in, I guess, you know, you're supposed to be a egalitarian on the radio, but I was in the first class lounge and they have showers there. I think I took about like a Tiny Tim shower, like a 3-hour shower to try to get India off me, and then ran to McDonald's to get a Big Mac. I mean, I just wanted India gone, and England was close enough to the U.S. and then I just wanted to get to the U.S. and never, she was up to her neck in the goddamn Ganji, up to her neck in the, but the Indian god, I'd like to see that, but not enough to go to India. I don't think there's not much that can bring me to India. Let's talk to Vinny. Hey, Vinny, how deep would you go into the Ganji?
I wouldn't go near it at all.
Good choice.
Jersey is how deep I would go in the Ganji. What's up, Vinny?
So, got a great monkey story for you.
Lay it on me.
I go to the zoo one day with my girlfriend, and figured it'd be a nice date, and we go see the monkeys, and
where,
one of the monkeys.
The zoo? What city is this?
I'm from Jersey, but we're at the Bronx Zoo.
Okay, the Bronx Zoo. I just like to know, because we've been doing this show long enough, that we're starting to get to know the monkeys individually. Some of the zoos. So we've had stories about the Bronx Zoo monkeys before, so we have that clear in our heads. So go on, you're taking your girlfriend in. How old are you at this point?
I was probably 21. I'm 22 now, so it wasn't that long ago.
Okay. And you got your girlfriend with you. Same girlfriend you have now?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let's go. So, now we'll rejoin you at the Bronx Zoo.
Okay, so we're at the Bronx Zoo. We go to see the monkeys, and one of the monkey trainers have the monkeys out in kind of a small room, and, you know, there's kids around. I'm with my girlfriend. We're all admiring this monkey, and he's loving all the attention. And the monkey, I noticed he's checking out my girlfriend, kind of, but maybe I'm thinking that's just me. So...
That's a little
the monkey starts playing with his earrings or whatever, and then I notice his hand starts to go down, and his finger gets caught on the top of his shirt. And this little monkey, Ted, he didn't
stop there.
Remember
the monkey's name. That's great. Okay, go ahead.
His finger kept going down, revealing my girlfriend's breasts.
So
not fully, but, I mean, a good amount, and... The monkey trainer kind of just stood there laughing about it, and I kind of slapped the monkey's hand away, and that's where things went downhill.
Wait a second. Now, I assume your girlfriend has really nice breasts, right?
Yeah.
So the monkey has similar taste to you. Go on.
So, anyway, I slapped the monkey's hand. I got pushed away, and the animal trainer drops the monkey, and... There's this monkey laying on the ground. He's kind of writhing in pain. And he's like leaning up and down, grabbing his ankle. They tell me that I sprained the monkey's ankle. So I get kicked out of the Bronx Zoo. And they're trying to tell me that they're going to sue me for pain and suffering of Ted the monkey.
That's why you know his name, isn't it? It's on all the legal papers.
Now, did they actually serve papers to you?
No, but I'm banned from the Bronx Zoo for life.
What they have is it's like Vegas. They have like face recognition. If you go in, they're gonna you can go in into disguise, like the Harvard blackjack guys. The MIT
I'm gonna
black-
have to. I mean, my kids are gonna want to go to the zoo one day, and I'm not gonna be able to take them because I'm banned
for slapping a monkey off your girlfriend's breast. Are you not married to your girlfriend?
No, not yet.
She still has great breasts.
Oh, yeah, great.
And I should know that if you happen to come to Vegas, come to the show, and I reach into your girlfriend's top, that the worst you can expect is a slap on the hand. Is that correct?
You might sprain your ankle.
Thank you so much, Vinny. Thanks a lot, man. So they tried to sue him. That's the second time we've had litigious zookeepers, right?
Yeah.
The woman with the greatest story ever about the monkey biting her breast, she said that they were going to try to sue her for the what was it for? There was something
gland theft.
They were going to charge her for the monkey getting his get all the tests done to see if she had rabies. They were trying to bust her for the rabies thing. Anyway, we got the monkey god. I got my 13-inch tail waving it, telling you goodbye from Monkey Tuesday at Penn Gillette.